And Lord, we are blessed people, and we thank you for your goodness to us. And ask you, Lord, just to bless our time this morning as we study your word. Lord, you know the needs of each person here today, and I know that you've already challenged my heart as I've studied in preparation for today and shown me areas in my life that need to change. And I pray that as we study your word, that you would speak to each of us and minister to us in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 6 this morning. Luke chapter 6. I don't know if you are a historian or not, but often when I hear of great stories or events in history, I think, well, wouldn't it have been great to have been there, just to have seen what happened. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to have been in the area some 2,000 years ago where Christ ministered, and just to be able to be there and be with Christ at the wedding of Cana as he turned the water into wine, and just to witness those events and maybe be there as he fed the 5,000, and to see that occur, or the healing of lame people or blind people or deaf people, or wouldn't it have been great just to sit and hear the Lord Jesus Christ preach? I mean, all of us have heard, you know, great preachers, but man, none of them would compare with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have a time machine today. I can't take you back to those times, but I'm going to try to do the next best thing, and that is to take you to one of his sermons. This sermon is found in Luke. It's also found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and it is called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, we're going to look at Luke chapter 6 today, which is the shorter version of the two. Obviously, neither writer wrote down everything the Lord Jesus Christ said. And if you read the two passages, you'll see a lot of similarities and some differences. But in this passage, we find the Lord Jesus Christ coming and preaching to a group of people called disciples. They were learners. They were followers. They were not necessarily all believers. There were people who were probably moving toward belief in Christ. There were people who were already believing in Christ. There were some that maybe were moving away from belief in Christ. So it's quite a mix of people. What would their basic religion have been in that time? Judaism, which was a religion of the law, keeping the law. And so he's addressing these people who have been trained that to gain God's favor, they needed to do and do and do and do. And they had very strict laws and very specific laws. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes to them and says some very shocking things. In fact, to be honest with you, even for us today, we'll find them very shocking. And so we're going to look there today, and we're going to see really two groups of people, very specific groups of people. And the one group, the blessed group, is identified by what they think about themselves and what they think about other people. Now, my main emphasis really today, and as it turns out next week, because I'm not going to get through, is what they think about other people. But we're going to cover the first one very quickly and then move on. Luke chapter 6 and verse 20. And it says, "Then he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said," here's this first group, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." Now here's the second group. "But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Now, in these verses, we see the blessed person's view of themselves. Now, when we first begin to look at this passage, we think probably he's talking about material things, but I don't believe that's the case. If you look at verse 20, where we'll start, it says, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Now, it's interesting. If you look in the parallel passage in Matthew, it talks about not just, it doesn't say just pour. What does it say? Pour in spirit. So it's really talking about a spiritual view of oneself. And the Lord says some pretty shocking things. Now, by the way, one of the reasons I think this is not talking just about material things is it's possible to be poor and not be blessed and not be happy. In fact, many poor people are not happy. And by the way, as my daughter often states, those that are rich are definitely not happy. But that's a different topic. There's a story behind that. If you want to hear it, you can ask Hannah. She'll tell you. But it's interesting, as we come to this passage, there are two very specific groups. Did you just see them? Very specific groups. This first group, it says, blessed, 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 blessed. And then he gets to verse 24. Here's a different group. And woe, 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 woe. This is the cursed group. Now, you're either in one group or the other. Okay? You're either in the blessed group or you're in the cursed group. Two very specific states, two very different things. Now, by the way, this really simplifies matters for us because there are millions, well, I don't know, millions, thousands, at least thousands of religions in the world, and they all differ. But when push comes to shove, there are really two religions. There are two groups of people. There are the cursed and there are the blessed. There are the saved and there are the lost. Now, today, by the way, you're in one of those two groups. You can't be in both groups, okay? You're one or the other. Now let's look this morning, and again, this is not my main focus, but this helps us to get to the second part. And look at these two groups, all right? Here's the first group, this blessed group. We've already kind of jumped ahead a little bit. And notice they are poor, or they are poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of God. Again, not talking about material things, talking about a spiritual condition. Now, these blessed people understand their spiritual poverty. Okay? They understand that they spiritually have nothing. They are spiritually destitute. They realize that all their righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They are poor. They are destitute spiritually. Now, look, before you ever become a child of God, you've got to come to this point in your life. Every one of you that have witnessed to people, have run into people who you cannot convince them that they are lost. Oh, they'll admit they're sinners, but I've got a neighbor. Bless his heart, he'll do anything for me. I went and borrowed his trailer yesterday, and he'll let me borrow anything I want to borrow, and I help him, and he helps me. And I've witnessed to him, and the Lord has broken my heart, and I've wept over him and wept with him, and he will not get saved. And I think this is his problem. He does not see that he is spiritually destitute. He thinks he's okay. He's a nice guy sometimes. Now, all of you have met people like that. But look, he said, if you're going to be blessed, there's got to be a point in your life when you realize that you have no resources to earn God's favor. Not one. Now, by the way, do people like to hear that message? I just want to tell you, Myron, you're rotten, son. I mean, there's nothing good about you. Now, don't say amen, Janet. I mean, no. But that's the simple truth. According to Ephesians, we are spiritually, before salvation, we are spiritually dead. Okay? What good thing can a dead person do? Okay? And the blessed person realizes that they are spiritually destitute. Now, it's interesting. Before you can go to the kingdom of God or experience the kingdom of God, you must be spiritually destitute. You must say, you know what? I'm poor. All right, let's look at the next one. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Oh, you think, well, that means if I don't have enough money to buy food, I'm going to get a Big Mac someday, right? No. Again, we're in the spiritual realm. And this person has a spiritual hunger. And by the way, again in Matthew, what does it say? Blessed are that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And this person says, oh, I am wicked, I am lost, I am not righteous, but oh, I want to be righteous. And they have a hunger for the righteousness of God. Again, you will never become a child of God until you say, oh, I'm a wicked sinner and I want my sin to be dealt with. I want to be right with God. I want to be cleansed and pure. By the way, and this is a little rabbit trail. I'm talking in our case here about salvation, but I was thinking this morning. I know you find that hard to believe, but I really was. This spiritual hunger, that verse kept going over my mind. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, I'm talking about salvation, our context, but this is a rabbit trail. This is what you need this week. If God is going to work in your heart and life, folks, it will be because you have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. By the way, I'm going to get really nasty. You know how I'm going to be able to tell if you're hungry and thirsty? I don't have to go there, do I? I'll be able to tell Monday night at 7, Tuesday night at 7, Wednesday night at 7. That's not fair. Now, I know some of you have to work. Some of you are already planning to be sick. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Look. If I am hungry for righteousness, where am I going to be when the Word of God is preached? Okay. I know that was nasty. Sorry about that, but I couldn't help myself. These people are people who want to be righteous. Can you remember the day in your life when the Holy Spirit of God showed you that you were poverty-stricken spiritually? And you cried out in your soul to be righteous? These are the necessary steps to salvation, folks. And so we see these people. These are the people that sing, "Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord." I mean, they are spiritually hungry. Spiritually hungry. And then look what happens. We're back in Matthew, or excuse me, Luke. And it says, "Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now." Now what occurs in a seeking a lost person's life when they realize their sinfulness and they're wanting righteousness? What happens? There's repentance. There's weeping. And it leads to salvation. And it's interesting, folks, the last one here, it says also, "Blessed are ye." Now, when a person comes and they have sorrow for sin, and they repent and they become a child of God, look what happens. "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you." This is a proof that the first three have happened. What does Paul say about that? "Yea, and all that live godly shall suffer persecution. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." Now, I love this next part. "Rejoice in that day." You're out knocking on doors, and somebody just lets you have it. How are you supposed to respond? You're supposed to, when that door closes, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, this is wonderful. They've hated me for righteousness' sake. This is good stuff." By the way, how did the apostles respond after they had been beaten and thrown in prison? And they got back together, and what'd they do? They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. These folks are the blessed people. Blessed people. Now, I've got to move quickly. Now, the cursed people, if you notice, are exactly the opposite. Woe unto you that are rich. Now, again, it's not talking about material riches. If you think that's what it means and you want to get rid of your riches, I'll help you out. You know, come and see me after church. The name is S-E-A-M-A-N. Just write down the check. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about those who think they are rich spiritually. I'm okay spiritually. I'm a nice guy. I do good to my neighbors. I'm all right. They think they're okay. Boy, have you met people like that? Now, the simple matter of fact is, they'll never get to heaven. Now, remember, what kind of people is he talking to? People who've been the Judaistic religion, huh? What was their whole claim to fame? How they're good. They're keeping the law. They're doing right. We're rich spiritually.
Abraham's our father. We have the law. We are Jews.
They've got it made. He said, no, woe unto those kind of people. They think they're full. They have enough to satisfy God's righteous demands. They are happy. We got it made. We're good. And everybody likes them. Isn't that amazing? What a picture. Now, how can, if you are a blessed one today, all right, you're a child of God, what does God want you to do concerning those that are cursed ones, those that are not children of God? Pray for them. That's a good thing to do. What else? Witness to them. Now how do you witness to them? Mark is a cursed one. His wife says amen, right? And I'm a blessed one.
Amen.
And I come to Mark and I say, I just want you to know, you're wicked. There's no good in you. You cannot please God. And you're bad. And by the way, when you die, you're going to go to hell. Now, how does a cursed one, a lost person, respond to that? Well, thank you so much for telling me that. You made my day. What can we do to reach them? Now, this is really the crux of my lesson. This is where God has been beating me over the head this week. And let's see, folks. We've seen the blessed one's view of themselves. I want you to see the blessed one's view of others. Now, this is shocking, folks. Now, as shocking as the first part would be to a law keeper, this second part is shocking to me. And folks, it needs to shake us out of our lethargy. I think we are very ineffective in our witness because we don't understand the rest of this we're going to talk about this morning. Our attitude toward what others. And you say, well, okay, we're supposed to witness to them. All right, I want you to go on. Now look in verse 27. Now notice, the audience changes. But I say unto you which hear. Who hears spiritually? Those that are saved. All right, here it is, folks. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. He comes to these ones that are the blessed ones, and he said, here's the attitude you are supposed to have. Love your enemies. Now, is that normal? I'll tell you how abnormal it is. You were going down the road this week, driving your car, and somebody cut in front of you. What was your response? And or maybe you pulled out in front of them, and they made some friendly gestures to you, and if you had read their lips, it was, you know, it really wasn't something you'd want to repeat. How did you respond? Yeah, I'm sure you do. Now, you see what's normal. In fact, it's interesting, these people he was speaking to, these Pharisees and these scribes, all these kind of people, they were very self-righteous. In fact, they taught, and it's interesting, back in Matthew 5:43, it says, ye have heard that it hath been said, so this was their teaching, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. This was their teaching. We are Jews, we are the chosen, we are law keepers, we love our own, we hate everybody else. They're a bunch of heathen. And so he comes to them and says, no, that's not right. He said, you need to love your enemies. Now, obviously, the Lord gave us a great example of that. I mean, they treated the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, like a dog, worse than a dog. And when he's on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. Loving your enemies. In Proverbs 25:21, it says, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to eat, drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward him. Let me ask you a question. When you are dealing with an enemy, and you have an attitude of love, is that natural? No, it is supernatural. And this is the thing, folks, that makes an impact on the lost person. that though they treat you wrongly and though they are wicked in their ways toward you and they're your enemies, yet you love them. Now, let's go on here. Okay, there's the attitude. Let's see the action. Now in the next verse. And it says, but I say to you, same verse actually, love your enemies. Here's the action. Do good to them which hate you. Good luck with that. Now, again, people hate you. What do you want to do? You want to get them. I mean, they've been mean to me. I'm going to get them back. I'm going to show them. I'm going to retaliate. I'm going to show. Oh, boy. Wait a minute. What does the Lord say to do? Now I hope this is sinking into your hearts, folks. I mean, we're going to have an invitation here in a minute. So, no. Do good to them that hate you. Now, folks, again, that's not natural. The natural thing is, if Paul was mean to me, I'm going to get you back, buddy. And we react in kind. He said, no, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate for you. Look for opportunity to do good to them. Constantly look for ways to be nice to them. Wow. It's not over. Okay? Let's go back to the passage. It says in verse 28, bless them that curse you. Hallelujah. When somebody cusses you out, what do you want to say? I mean, you wouldn't say any cuss words. Then you might write them down and or have somebody write them down. You might sign them, you know, and hand them to them. I mean, hallelujah. You want to let them have it. I mean, you want to tell them. David, when you do a job for somebody and they get all over you and give you down the road and you know it's not your fault, but it's the idiot's fault, can't run the thermostat, what do you want to do? Be honest. I'm not asking what you do. That's what's natural. But God, Jesus says, oh, but if we're going to breach them, we've got to be supernatural. We've got to show there's been a supernatural work in our life. And the person who curses you out, and you do say, the Lord bless you, buddy. Or you're kind to them and you speak kindly to them. Wow. That shows that something's different about you. It shows there's something supernatural in your life. And boy, there's one more. Let's look at it. It says, bless them that curse you and pray for them that despitefully use you. Oh, he said, oh, finally. Here it is. Pray that God would knock them down and whip them and get them sick and steal all their stuff. You know, got to work them over, right? Yeah, it's one of those imprecatory prayers, you know. I'm going to let them have it, right? No. Pray that God would work in their heart and that God would save them and that God would... Now, folks, is this natural? Is this what we do? Now, folks, these are the actions that we're to take toward our enemies. But now, he doesn't even stop there, folks. It goes on. And he said, all right, I want to talk about your reactions to these people too. All right? Let's move on to verse 29. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Now, I don't know that this is the idea of somebody's breaking into your house and they're whipping up on you. You just lay there and say, come on, buddy, is that the best you got? You know? I think the context here is, and often in that day when they were trying to humiliate somebody, and they even did it to the Lord Jesus Christ, they would slap them. And I really think the context and the idea is that when your enemies are humiliating you and working you over, that you don't defend yourself and you say, man, I love you. You're going to have to do better than that. I'm just going to keep on loving you. And you can humiliate me. You can do what you want to me. I'm just going to keep loving you. That's an amazing thought. That a love is so supernatural that you just keep at it and you keep at it and you keep at it. This is the reaction that we're to have, folks. And again, I'll just be honest with you, folks. God has convicted my heart about this. And how I respond to the lost. But isn't this what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, folks? He's saying, look. Look, folks. You are blessed. You have had a point in your life where you had a sorrow for sin and you desired for the righteousness of God and you were saved and your life was changed. And these people are lost. And somehow we've got to reach them. And you need to do it. You've got to love your enemies. Wow. And yet how often do we respond the wrong way? And our testimony is shot. And we say, oh, I want to win my family to Christ, which is the hardest. And I want to do this to them, but man, last week we got in a fight and I can't even witness to them now. Or I responded the wrong way to something they said. Or I said something I shouldn't have said. And by the way, is it possible to love like this? Well, now, if the Lord's telling us to do it, it's got to be possible. How is it possible? Sure, to be indwelt by the Spirit of God. And what does the Spirit of God produce in your life? Love. Very first thing, love. The Spirit of God indwells you, and He's helping you to have the love of God in your life. But folks, it's supernatural. And there's a couple more. I'm going to get back to this. But let me ask you a question. Do the lost people around you, do they see the supernatural love of God in your life? Do they look at your life at work or in your neighborhood or in your family and they say, you know, Johnny says he's a believer. We have a John. I should use James. We don't have a James, do we? Jim? I don't think we have any Jim in here. And Jim says he's a believer. And Jim tries to witness to me, but, boy, he treats me like dirt. You know, there's no reality to the Christian life. Or do they say, you know, Jim keeps telling about the Lord, and you know what? There's something different about Jim. I mean, man, the way he responds to people who treat him wrong is just incredible. I mean, it's really supernatural. I mean, now they're not going to say supernatural, but I mean, there's something that Jim's got that I don't have. Now, folks, maybe the reason that our witness is so ineffective is because we respond to situations just like the world does. And they look at us and they say, you know what? He goes to church on Sunday, but on Monday he acts just like I do. He talks about the boss just like I talk about the boss. He cheats on things just like I cheat on things. He talks about people just like I talk about people. He responds to bad situations just the way I respond to them. There's no difference. And so when we go to witness to him, when we try to invite him to church, they say, what have you got that I don't have? And the Lord is saying, look, folks, you need to love your enemies. Now we're not done here. Let's move on. Verse 29, in the middle there. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. So this person comes, and they, of course, in that day they didn't have a closet full of clothes like we do. I've got 15 coats, I guess. I'd like to get rid of some. But they had one. And it gets cold at night. They got to have something to keep themselves warm. And they said, hey, they come and they again, humiliate you. They take your clothing. And you said, hey, you just go help yourself. And they say, they come in verse 30, and they say, give to every man that asketh of thee. Now, I don't know if that's talking about these, you know, professional beggars or something, but these unbelievers that come to you and they say, well, I know you're a Christian. I'm just going to ask Mark for something. And I know, give it to him because he's a believer. He has to, you know. And you just say, help yourself, brother. And he goes on and in the passage and he says, in verse, where am I? Verse 30, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods also, ask them not again. That neighbor that borrowed that rake 3 years ago, still has it, turkey. Now you're bitter. Now, folks, Can you see why I've been convicted this week? I mean, we are making so little impact in our community as believers, and I'm afraid that maybe this is the root cause. That they don't see this supernatural love in our lives. You see, anybody can respond like the world does. You know, somebody gives hate and they respond with hate. Or even if someone loans you something and you may loan it to them expecting to have something loaned, and we'll talk more about that next week. Anybody can respond like that. That's not supernatural. But when a person loves their enemies, when a person will have kind speech when their enemies are just cussing them out and working them over, that's supernatural. There's something different there. And I guess the reason I'm convicted is all too often my actions and my responses to the world are just like theirs. There's no difference. And then we go to that person and we say, hey, just want you to know that you're wicked and you're a sinner, you're going to hell. And they don't respond. Now, this week, you're going to be dealing with unsaved relatives. You're going to be dealing with unsaved co-workers and unsaved neighbors. Now, how are you going to respond? What are they going to see in your life? Are they going to see a life that is just like theirs, although you dress up good on Sunday, but you look just like them the rest of the week? Or are they going to look at your life and they're going to say, man, she has got something that I don't have. She is able to respond to the criticisms and the things that people say about her in a totally different way than I do. Or he, there's something different about old Joe. I mean, sorry about Joe. There is something about you, Joe. Really strange. No, I'm just kidding. and when Joe has these problems come into his life and people mistreat him at work, man, the way he responds is just, it's amazing. How can he do that? Now, don't go to work and face these situations and before you went to work, you didn't read your Bible, you didn't pray, you didn't walk with the Spirit. Don't expect to go to work and have that supernatural attitude, okay? It's not going to happen. Because you can't, and I can't. It's got to come from the Holy Spirit. It's got to come from walking with God. The love of God must be shed abroad in our lives by the Spirit of God. You can't just say, well, I'm a believer, I love, I got it covered. No, you don't. You've got to be controlled by the Spirit of God. This is why you need to spend time in God's Word. This is why you need to pray. This is why we need to walk with God, folks. You say, well, I don't have time to read my Bible. Well, then you're not going to have this kind of life. You say, I don't have time to pray and seek the Lord. Then you're not going to have this kind of life. It is not humanly possible. You just can't say, well, I'm going to be the man. I'm going to love everybody. You're going to be amazed how I treat people today. Good luck with that. You're not going to make it. But as you are controlled by the Spirit of God, you can be this kind of person. You can love your enemies. And my, what a witness we can have. And what an impact we can have. Now, it's interesting, as I look around the room, I know there are situations that some of you have talked to me about with family members, with work situations, with all kinds of things. And I am not here to say to you, man, it's a piece of cake. Piece of cake, baby. Just go out there and love them. You can do it, man. I mean, this is tough stuff. This is supernatural. But folks, the Lord can help you to respond in love in every situation. He can do it. He can do it. With God, all things are possible. And you look at your situation, you say, it ain't possible, buddy. And if you don't believe me, I'll tell you about it. You got 3 hours, I'll tell you about it, you know. Look, the Holy Spirit of God can empower you and produce the fruit of the Spirit of your life, and you can have this kind of love that you need for your family, for your coworkers, for your neighbors, for your enemies. And when you do, and we'll see more of this next week, God will open the door. God will open the door. And you can have an impact for God. You can. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these thoughts. Lord, these are really difficult thoughts, amazing thoughts. God, that we could love our enemies. And Lord, I know there are people in this room who have severe issues with people and troubles and difficulties, and there's been hatred, and there have been terrible things said and terrible things done to them. And Lord, I pray that you would help them to walk with you and to know the Holy Spirit of God's working, that they might love their enemies, that there might be a supernatural response to when people do us wrong, and that we might be able to love them through the Spirit of God. Lord, help me, I pray, to love this way. Oh God, I want a life that is supernatural. I want a life that can only be lived by the Spirit of God. I want my life to show your power. And I pray that you'd help us all to have this kind of life this week. Lord, I know we'll be tested. We'll be tried. We'll be in situations that are very difficult. And may we be led by the Spirit of God to love as you loved, that we might have an impact for you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.